A canceled school year. How will it affect a university, its students, as well as the future of higher education? Plus, how should your high school students start planning for next year in the cities? Schools of all kind have been shut down since mid-March. Distance learning has been going on, but let's be honest, it's not the same. Today, we look at the impact on future college students and how Western Illinois University is weathering the storm. We sat down with Western's interim president, Dr. Martin Abraham. Tell me what the COVID-19 impact is right now as we sit here at Western.
Well, the most obvious impact is the fact that our classes are all online, and so we're sitting in this beautiful atrium, which under normal conditions would be filled with students. And today it's just us. And so that's really, that's the most obvious. I think what it really has done, though, is the impacts go beyond what the classroom experience. It's that full university or college experience, the opportunity for students to interact with each other, to interact very directly and personally with one another, and that social connection that they get as part of their time on a university campus. And that, I mean, for me personally, in fact, that's what I feel as I've really lost through the changes that we've had, is that personal interaction and that connection with people. And that's what I think we're really losing.
Because to be perfectly honest, for so many young people, this period of time, it's the whole college experience. That's one of the big reasons why they go to a higher education facility.
Right. I mean, that's really the key, right? We can deliver a quality education in an online program. And we're doing a great job, and I know our faculty are doing wonderfully with that. But it's that personal interaction. It's that connectivity. It's the out-of-classroom experiences that so many of our students are missing.
Well, of course, you also have to be a dollars and cents man. And Western Illinois University and the other universities in the Illinois system suffered miserably for two and a half, almost 3 years with a lack of state funding. In January, you were saying that you thought we had turned the corner and we were making a rebound, and then this. Tell me about the status of Western because of all of that.
Well, in January, we had looking pretty good. We thought we were going to end up with a balanced expenditures or budget, and so the expenditures were lower than revenue. And of course, now this hits, and so the expenditures are up and the revenue is going to be down. That's clearly going to be an impact on us as a university. At the moment, we're still not really sure what the final costs are going to be. We're not sure what the revenue numbers are going to look like. We're not sure where we're going to be with state funding. We've got some federal stimulus money through the CARES Act that we received. Actually, I think we're actually signing off and getting the check today, about $8 million, and we hope that there's more coming further from the feds. Not sure how all of that's going to impact our budget, and this is stuff that we look at, and I probably have a meeting every other day at least to see how we are and where we're going and see exactly what it looks like. Overall, at this point, I think we're going to be okay. We're going to be a little tighter than we would have been. We've got expenditures we weren't expecting, but we've got savings in other places that we weren't counting on either. And so when you put all of these together and you include in the amount of money we're getting from the federal government, I think we're still going to end up about where we thought we would, with revenues and expenditures kind of balancing out. And I'm still optimistic for this year. What I'm really nervous about is next year.
And I want to talk about that in a moment, but let's stick with this year for just a moment longer. You're talking about the CARES money, and that's about $8 million for Western Illinois University. But about half of that, I believe, is estimated to go to students, and the other half would be to pay for some of the payments that have to be done on the university level. How does that work?
Right, so that's exactly right. It's half of it has to go direct payments to students. The other half gets to cover operational costs. And so we're in the process earlier this week and the end of last week about developing some emergency funds that we would have available to support students. And when the CARES Act money came and was released, We looked at the amount that was available. We tried to figure the best way to make it accessible to our students. And we're going to use that same emergency process, emergency payment process, for a significant portion of that distribution. So students will basically write in. It's an online form that they can complete. It's about, takes them probably less than 5 minutes. And they can tell us why they need some additional cash, and we'll review it and be able to send that cash out to the student in the form of a, and the easiest way for us to do that is to put it as a credit on their account, and they can then, if they need the actual cash, they withdraw it from their account and we issue them a check that way. That's the easiest and fastest way for us to get those funds in the hands of our students.
And how quickly would that be then?
Theoretically, they can have the money next week.
Let's talk about your employees as well. I mean, because they would be hurting as well. What kind of assistance is Western have for faculty, staff, administration?
Well, we have not changed anything we're doing for faculty or staff or administration. They are receiving their pay. Many of them are at home, working from home where they can, or if they can't work from home, then they're just at home. But they're still receiving full pay. We're still supporting them in every way that we have in the past. Of course, the sick leave benefits and FMLA benefits were changed by the federal government early on in this process. So if they need access to those, they have access to those in order to take advantage of that activity as well.
As you were mentioning, the college experience is something that's really sorely missing this particular year, especially for your graduating seniors. Graduation had to be canceled. You're looking at perhaps some type of a virtual graduation or at least a celebration of the work they have done. Tell me about the impact that has almost on the psyche of a campus, is that you didn't get to say goodbye. Your year ended in such a way that nobody foresaw.
Well, that's exactly right. You didn't get to say goodbye, so you don't have the closure that you typically would of a commencement ceremony. And you know, you've seen commencement ceremonies and many times, and there's a camaraderie that's built between the faculty and the students and the department chair and the students. And I know that I saw this in the fall commencement. This was my first opportunity to be a Western commencement. And the hugs and the feelings and the crying that people do as they finish up. And that's not going to happen, at least not in May. This year. And so one of what we're looking at is we will have some sort of a celebration in May. It'll be a virtual celebration, but we'll do something to mark the occasion. And then we do expect to have an actual celebration, a walk across the stage, shake everybody's hands type of final celebration. We don't know exactly when it'll be yet. We're still trying to figure that out. We don't know exactly what form it'll take yet. Again, trying to figure all that out. But we feel it is very important to mark the commencement and mark it with a formal celebration where students and faculty get to come together and recognize the achievements of our students have had and celebrate it in a formal way and have those hugs and have those crying events and celebrations and meet mom and dad and all these other pieces that happen with those activities. And we're going to make sure that that gets to happen for all of our students.
Because for the class of 2020, this is what they're going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly there's right. So much to their college experience that they'll remember, but for this to be the period at the end of that sentence could be kind of rough.
That's right. And we don't want this to be the end. We're going to mark it in May, just like we normally would, with a virtual celebration, where we're going to make sure to put an exclamation point on it later.
You want to talk about next year, because you're saying we can get through this year at Western. It's next year, and I'd assume the years after that, that you're a little more concerned right now.
That's exactly right. The state was in the process of setting a budget for fiscal 21, and that got interrupted by the pandemic. And they went from a situation where we were thinking we would be pretty good with probably a little bit of an increase for higher education to a situation where now the state is not taking in as much tax revenue. Their budgets are going to be significantly impacted. And, you know, my best guess is that we're hoping that we'll get level funding for higher ed, but we're expecting that that's not even going to hold up at this point.
And what impact does that have then at this point? Because Western got very used to not having extra money. Perhaps you're pros at that at this point. What do we expect then for the coming year?
So, you know, a percentage increase or decrease is about $500,000 for Western. So if we're level, that means we'll get the same amount of money as we had last year. And from a overall budget, the state appropriation is about 25% of everything we do, but it's about half of what we talk about as the appropriated funds. That's what we have for really for instruction and operations. And so that's about half of our budget. And so if we lose $500,000 and 1% or 5%, $2.5 million, we're going to have to cut our instruction and operational budget by $2.5 million unless we make that up on the enrollment side. And of course, Western has seen declining enrollment for the past, well, for the past decade, a significant decline in enrollment over the past 4 or 5 years. And so even this year, where we're still expecting a positive impact on the incoming class, our senior classes, our graduating classes continue to be larger than the classes preceding or following them. And so we expect that there's an overall enrollment decline, less this year than we've had in prior years. But as you take that overall enrollment decline, you combine it with a decrease in state funding, and that gives us a significant decrease in our overall operating and instructional budgets. And we have to figure out once again how to do more with less.
Well, as of January, you were pretty happy with the retention of students, so that was a good sign. But you are looking into the crystal ball, and you know that the number of graduating high school seniors will decline in the next few years. So it's almost a foregone conclusion.
So we have to be careful on enrollment to make very clear on exactly what types of number we're talking about. So I do expect the retention. Well, I expected the retention to be good. I'm still hopeful. But with this switch to online education, we probably will lose more students than we would have otherwise because we're not able to interact with them in as direct a way, and we're not able to engage with them, and they don't get that full college experience, which is really quite helpful from a retention standpoint. So the retention, I'm still optimistic, will be better than we were last year, but it won't be as strong as I would have hoped because of the switch to online. The enrollment numbers, we look at two different numbers when we talk about enrollment. There's a new incoming class, and then there's the overall enrollment. And clearly, the size of the new incoming class impacts the overall enrollment number. I'm still expecting that the size of the incoming class will be larger than what last year's incoming class was. So that number will be very positive. And I'm expecting for that to be up as much as 5%. But then when you roll that into the overall size of the student population, you have a retention impact on the student population, you have a graduating class, and you have the classes continuing to get smaller. So the junior class is smaller than the senior, the sophomore class smaller than the junior. And so you lose more students overall than you're replacing them with in the classes coming up. And so I'm kind of expecting that the overall enrollment is going to be down 5%. And those two numbers match. If the incoming class is up about 5%, that'll result in an overall enrollment decrease of about 5% as well.
You touched upon the remote learning. And Western had looked at more remote learning in the last few years. Does this pandemic change the way higher education may teach its kids in the future?
I don't know. Perhaps it accelerates the interest in online learning. It may not. I really, it's hard to predict where that's going to go. Clearly, our faculty have learned a lot about doing online in a way that they would not have learned under previous years. But the online experience has been growing for the last 5 years or so at Western fairly significantly. We were up to about 12 to 13% of our students doing online education. And so we saw that increasing. I expect that will continue to increase. The question really becomes, will it accelerate faster? And the answer to that is, I don't know. We talked when we started off about what we lose by going to the online learning. And it's that on-campus, face-to-face university experience, the interactions of students with other students, of students face-to-face with faculty and staff. We lose that in a fully online experience. Many of our students want that personal experience, that connectivity with faculty and students that they only get from the face-to-face program. I think that's going to continue to happen. We may see more online classes, but I don't think we're going to see a disappearance of the face-to-face experience.
That's Western Illinois University Interim President Dr. Martin Abraham. The census process is now being delayed because of the COVID-19 threat. So far, about half of all U.S. households have filled out the census. That's about the same number in Iowa and Illinois, as well as throughout the Quad Cities. But another half haven't been counted. So the question is, have you?
What is the 2020 census? Every 10 years, the census records everyone living in this country. It's written in the Constitution and comes in a questionnaire that counts everyone who lives at your address on April 1st. The data can be used to inform funding for services like fire stations, schools, clinics, and representation that affect your community. Shape your future. Start here. Visit 2020census.gov.
With so many of us staying at home, it might feel a little claustrophobic. And that's the title of our song that was written by tonight's solo artist. Here's Murray Lee from the Black Box Theater with Claustrophobic.
I was flipping through a news article about our brains, their size and their shape are genetic. Oh, what an awful trick. I was reading chapters in a people's history of the United States. Oh, what an awful place to be. And I'm too poor to Science Journal about Mother Earth, her fever's getting worse. Oh, I'm stuck in a hearse. I was trying to understand a Brian Greene book about space-time and how our strings are attached to it. Oh, we can't leave this universe. Skipping through a news article about our brains, their size and their shape are genetic. Oh, I feel so claustrophobic.
Murray Lee and Claustrophobic. Recorded at the Black Box Theater in downtown Moline. Well, it's late spring and usually high school seniors and all students are just getting ready for the summer, and many of them are considering what's next. Well, let's be honest, this is more confusing of a period of time for high school seniors than ever before. So we talked with Western Illinois University's Associate Director of Admissions, Cassie Daly. So explain to me how this will impact the shutdown of the university. How does that impact the high school class of 2020 right now, who may have already picked a college, or perhaps some people who are waiting until the last minute?
For Western in particular, we are what we refer to as rolling admissions. So we're going to accept students up until and through the month of August. So WIU students may be not as impacted as students that now we're looking at other institutions and maybe there is a decision date. Some institutions say May 1st, they want a decision. A lot of those institutions, though, because of what's going on, they've pushed that back because they don't want to put any more pressure on seniors than they're already facing. I mean, overnight they had to jump into how do I navigate, remote learning and my social distancing from my peers and my support group that were, outside of my house.
So, well, and to be honest, Western is no different than if this was an isolated event, Western would be at a disadvantage. But let's be honest, this is higher education of all forms throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. And that's correct. I think that as higher ed institutions, we're all in this together. Everybody has made the adjustments they can make. Been just really sensitive to the situation. What does this mean for high school incoming seniors or incoming freshmen that are seniors now? What impact does this have on them? Maybe they wanted to make a second visit to campus to solidify their decision, and it's reaching those students in other ways, in virtual virtual ways, whether it's a video chat or a virtual event that a student can attend, finding different ways to offer orientation programs, and then just the general way that we've always communicated with students through email and phone calls and text messaging, and still keeping those things kind of alive, but also trying to consider that these seniors may be a little overwhelmed with all the virtual in their world right now.
Yeah.
And so kind of creating a good balance there.
They are best able to deal with it, but you're absolutely right. I never really thought of it that way. But you also think of, and you've seen this time and time again, where the parent is saying, make a decision, and the child is holding off. What are you suggesting to parents right now that might be a little on edge because obviously their child may not have made a decision yet, and it's even more difficult now to make one?
I think just give them some space, let their seniors breathe a little bit. I think there's probably a lot of anxiety that, I have two boys, and so one communicates really well with me with what's going on. The older one is like he keeps everything a little bit more inside, and so there's a lot of anxiety that they may not be sharing with their parents of everything else that's changed. I mean, some are upset because what's high school graduation going to look like, and what about prom, and
right.
My sports season was canceled. So there's, I think, so much going on in the mind of a senior right now. So as parents, just to kind of understand that and be supportive of, that their decision that they may have made may change because they may be having some different thoughts, or that, letting their senior know, there's maybe some adjustments that we're going to have to make, but let's stick to the plan, let's work the plan, let's keep motivated, and just get through this home stretch of the senior year.
What are you saying to the families of the class of 2021 then? The juniors that, they're getting through this as well, but they're going to be starting to make plans very, very soon.
Mm-hmm. I think with juniors, what's really the game changer, not only for all of us, but specifically for juniors, is that this is when they would have been taking the college entrance exams, SAT, ACT, depending on which side of the river you're on, and those testing opportunities are now pushed back. And so instead of doing that in the spring of your junior year, knowing what your test scores were by May and being able to use that as you kind of start the college search process, they're not going to have that information. And so they're, going to have that opportunity. It's just going to be later in fall currently, as kind of ACT and SAT have communicated with us all. But those juniors may be in that situation of, well, I don't know what my test scores are. Where
right.
should I apply?
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And also if they do poorly on the test, they can retake the test. And now you're butting even more against either self-imposed or imposed deadlines.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where some of this has impacted seniors. So if they wanted to retest to either get a higher score, maybe for a scholarship, you know, an additional scholarship opportunity, or maybe they were looking at another institution that they just needed one or two more points. I think what, you know, higher ed is really moving in a lot of different institutions, not all, but there's a lot, and Western's one of them, where we're moving to this kind of this test optional platform. So if you're a 3.3 GPA, high school GPA or higher, we're not going to require that ACT or SAT test. We're going to admit you on the merit of what you've done, you know, in the last several semesters of your high school career. And so those opportunities are also arising out of this, and I think that there will be more institutions that may start to move to test optional platforms because there's this whole host of students of 2021 that haven't been able to take their test yet.
We've talked about traditional students, but of course Western and the Quad City campus in particular is well known for its non-traditional student population. There's so many people that are going through disruptions in their lives because of the COVID-19. They already went through disruptions because of the economic downturn back in 2009 on, and we saw more students, more people trying to relearn trades or get a different degree. What do you say to those people who are going through COVID right now and are going, you know, this, what I'm doing now just obviously isn't going to work. I should look to change my degree and maybe consider Western.
I think it's important to first, you know, think about what field they'd want to go into, making sure that the majors that we have here are a good match. There's financial opportunities through financial aid, where if they're going to go through a major job change, they can file for, you know, a change of circumstance. Finding those opportunities, there's scholarship opportunities that we have here for specifically for Quad City students that are attending and taking advantage of those opportunities. We transfer student scholarships because the vast majority of our students here at the Quad Cities are transfer students. They've been at a community college, or maybe they've been at a different four-year institution. Maybe they've taken a big break in between finishing an associate's degree and are now ready to come back. So I think just looking at those opportunities, we have a free application time going on right now. So students can fill out the application for free, and that doesn't commit them to anything. It just gets the process started.
Western Illinois University Associate Director of Admissions, Cassie Daly. And thank you for joining us for the Cities. And we want to remind you that WQPT can be a great resource during this period of time for you, your family, and your children. You can go to our website at WQPT.org to learn more about the PBS Kids program. It includes several interactive apps and games that make learning fun. Plus, check out PBS for Parents with online resources, including a section that helps moms and dads talk to their kids about the coronavirus. It's all free and family friendly. Check it out right now at WQPT.org. On the air, on the radio, on the web, and on your mobile device. Thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the Cities.